Thank you for joining us for this edition of the Making After School Cool podcast, the link between research, practice, and theory for those who are interested in after school and out of school time activities. The Making After School Cool podcast is produced by Case for Kids, a division of Harris County Department of Education, and I'm your host, Michael Wilson. The topic for this week's program is how service providers can enhance the services that are offered in after school and out of school time programs. I recently attended the Case for Kids After School Vendor Fair just to speak with vendors who detailed the services that they offer. But before we get to those interviews, I first interviewed Jacqueline Chavez, who coordinated the event. We hope you enjoy this edition of the Making After School Cool podcast. Welcome back to the Making After School Cool podcast. And I have Jacqueline Chavez with me, who's going to give us some background information on the Case for Kids Vendor Fair. Jacqueline, how are you doing today?
I'm good. Thanks for inviting me.
Well, can you first tell me your role with Case and what all it entails to get something like this off the ground?
Yeah, so I am the provider support coordinator here at Case for Kids. So I work with all of our approved HCDE Case for Kids service providers that go through our procurement process. So we have usually around 100 service providers on our approved vendor list every year. And my main role here at Case for Kids is really promotion and kind of showcasing their services and what they have to offer to the after-school community, because that's what we do here at Case for Kids. And so the provider fair is one way to do that.
And for the people who aren't familiar, if you're running an after-school program or out-of-school program and you want to enhance some of the services that you provide, this is an excellent way to do that. So can you tell me a little bit about what the provider's fair is, approximately how many vendors came, maybe a cross-section of the different type of vendors?
Yeah, so we showcased about 60 members of our Case for Kids vendor list at our After School Providers Fair this year. So we had a really good turnout of vendors, after school coordinators, administrators to come kind of see and network with each other in this field. But it ranges from academic, quality academic and enrichment activities that our service providers offer, including dance, music, STEM, sports, character education, and a lot more.
And so if a person is a vendor and they would like to try to get into the network, what are some of the steps that they would have to take in order to make that happen?
Yeah, so we are always looking for enrichment activities, different types of activities and services that people want to offer to after-school programs. So we're always open to that. They do have to go through a procurement process to get on our approved vendor list. So it's an online bid system that we put out a few times a year to the community. So everything's online. They submit a proposal, and then they get approved by our board and added to our list.
And some of the vendors, are they're select providers? Is that the term?
So, yes, we do have a program called the Select Services Program, and that is just a smaller group of providers in our provider network that goes through more professional development in literacy and numeracy and social-emotional learning and how they really implement that into their programs. And through this program, we're able to offer them to our Case for Kids sites, too, and to make sure that they're practicing what they're learning and training in.
And so if I have an after-school program and I would like to get some additional services, like through a vendor, what steps would I have to go through to make that happen?
So we do have a new program called the Community Plus Project here at Case for Kids, where we are providing a request form to schools and after-school programs that want to use our vendors and have us pay for it. So simply submit a request form, and based on your needs, based on funding availability, we're able to kind of match some of our vendors with some after-school sites.
So some programs, there are possibilities, and I'll repeat this, there are some possibilities for some programs to be able to have access to some vendors at no cost.
Mm-hmm.
And so that would be a great opportunity to enhance the program beyond just some of the traditional services that are offered. And after school, a little bit later in the podcast, I had the opportunity of interviewing some providers, and that include golf, include gardening, dance, arts and crafts, writing. So like you said, there is a large range of different types of vendors that are available that definitely can enhance the services that are provided during the out-of-school time hours. So is there anything else you would like to add to about the providers, the provider fair, the provider network?
Really, with the provider network and the provider fair, we're just trying to promote them, get their name out there, what they do, really trying to connect them and network them into this field, because a lot of them may have been in after school for a long time, and some of them may be new to the field. So just exposing them to what Case for Kids has to offer and just the after school field in general is kind of what my aim is to do here at Case for Kids. The provider fair is open to the community every year, so we definitely encourage anyone who's interested in learning about different activities, different enrichment activities, to definitely attend the provider fair, which is free to attend. So we definitely like when the community is involved and wants to get to know what our vendors have to offer.
And if people want to get more information on our vendors list, they can just visit our website?
They can visit our website, yes.
afterschoolzone.org. Yes. And I'll also include a link on the description, as well as possibly your email and phone number.
Yes. So if you have any questions about our vendors, you can always contact me directly. My email is jchavez@hcde-texas.org. So we're always wanting to help out where we can and send our vendors out there to schools.
Well, I appreciate you taking some time and being a part of our Making After School Cool podcast.
Well, thank you, Mike. I really appreciate it.
The first organization I had the opportunity of interviewing was the representative from Recipe for Success. The following is excerpts from that interview. Okay, so you were telling me earlier that you have a garden. Mm-hmm. And so do the students get to have input on what they're going to plant in the garden, or do you bring the, I'm assuming the seeds, mm-hmm. and then y'all pick out a location and you just sort of go from there? How does that work?
Well, we like to grow our food seasonally so that our chefs can have what they need in the classroom that the kids can obviously see, like, this is fall, so we're going to be eating pumpkins and squash and things like that.
Okay.
Or this is winter, so we have lots of collard greens in our garden. This is what we're going to bring into our kitchen. So we would have them set up a gardening area or some beds outside of their school or within their campus, and have a gardening instructor come out and teach the kids which seeds are going in and why they're going in at this time, and then when they'll be able to produce food. So that's how we make it full circle for the children.
Awesome. And then you also have a cooking element to your program. Can you describe that for me?
We'll have, at least once a month, we'll have a chef, either from the Houston area or a personal chef, Chef Paris, will come in and teach the kids how to dice, how to mince, the proper way to hold a knife. We provide them with aprons. We give them hands-on tools so that they can get into the recipe. We also teach them measurements, so we use 1/4 cup of flour, that kind of thing. And it opens up their minds to the process of putting the food together in order to make a meal.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. So this is definitely hands-on learning by doing.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like you have some math elements involved with it, some science elements that is involved with it.
Definitely.
Of course, botany.
Oh, for sure. most of what we do.
And then at the end of the day, the students get the opportunity to sample what it is that they actually grew. Well, that's so that's awesome. And you said you work primarily with elementary, but you do have a junior high mm-hmm. component in it as well.
Yes, sir.
Awesome. Well, thank you for taking some time to speak with me. We appreciate you participating in our vendor fair, and we wish you the best of luck this school year.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
No problem. The next organization I had the pleasure of interviewing was from Andy Love, and I'm speaking to Jorge Casco, who's with Ande Love. Jorge, how are you doing today?
I'm good, good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, thank you. So tell me a little bit about the service that you provide.
Well, I provide enrichment programs that are based in art, music, dance, and theater.
Okay. And so music, what type of music do you involve in your program?
We do anything from, you know, drumming on buckets to, you know, hand percussion to cajones, just a different variety of instruments that either the school provides or that I can bring in with the kids.
Okay. And what age group do you work with?
I typically work through K through 5th.
K through 5th?
Yeah.
And you also have, I know, what is that, like a comic strip with Hippo?
Yeah, it's Henry the Hip Hop Hippo is a book that I wrote while traveling across the country working with the youth. And I found out that a lot of these kids, no matter what city they're from, they had an identity crisis. You know, they were trying to be something they weren't. So, and I also found out that a lot of these kids were being bullied. So the book touches, you know, it scrapes the, you know, the entry levels of bullying and, you know, what it is to be yourself. But in a nutshell, the character in the book is Henry. He's a dancing hippo. He lives in Africa. And a lot of the animals make fun of him. But instead of him, you know, changing his attitude and being negative, he stays who he is and he turns the animals' attitudes around and they become positive and they all end up dancing and, you know, having a good time instead of complaining about the heat, you know.
And that's sounds like it's a really good message, especially for a lot of kids as they grow up. They start developing their own interests, and unfortunately, if it's not what their peers think is appropriate for mm-hmm. them, then they will bully them. And I think this is a good format or a good way for kids to know that it's okay if this is what it is, that your dream is your dream. And don't let anybody steer you from that dream. So I think it's a really creative way of spreading that message. Now, the name of your organization is Ande Love. What inspired you to provide these types of services for youth?
Well, Ande is my mom's name, is Ondina, and then Love is because love conquers all. And she was always somebody who gave back to the community. She was actually the first person who actually inspired me to pursue the arts, you know. And I lost her to cancer in 2006, and from that pain came this program. So, you know, took a negative and turned it into a positive. And I know that, you know, sharing her message of, you know, of caring about each other and respect, it was something that she taught us, you know, taught me and my family as kids. Now we can pass that on to these kids, to this younger generation. Because I come from a generation where you do respect your elders and you do ask for permission. You don't tell your parents what to do. Everything comes with structure and, you know, organization and, you know, things that allow you to kind of create habits of success. You know, setting these small goals. Like today I won't misbehave, I'll listen to the teacher, tomorrow I'll do my homework, the next week I'll do all of that and I'll be a better student, and then next thing you know they're passing their week and then they're passing their semester and then they're graduating school, you know. So that's kind of the process of, you know, for me trying to inspire these kids.
Well, that sounds excellent. I mean, it's you found a unique way to teach social emotional learning as well as music and other forms of art. So it sounds like it keeps the kids engaged as well as improving their self-esteem and self-confidence. Well, Jorge, I thank you for taking a moment to speak with me. I'll include information on how people can get in contact with you if they're more interested in actually having you come out and expanding your services. So I really appreciate it. You have a good one.
Thank you. You too.
Next, I had the opportunity of interviewing one of our most popular vendors, Writers in the Schools. Speaking with Tamara, who's with Writers in the Schools. So how are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing real well. Thank you for taking some time to speak with us and being a part of our Making After School Cool podcast. So tell me a little bit about Writers in the Schools. What is it that y'all do? What type of service do you provide?
So we are a multi-level creative writing after school, during school, community placement weekend program. So our bread and butter is that we place creative writing programs within public schools all throughout the Houston and Greater Houston area during the ELA class times. We also provide after school programs for children who need to stay after school because their parents work, and so we do have programs that run after school, and it's a full comprehensive creative writing program that provides teaching pedagogy for fiction, poetry, slam poetry, creative nonfiction at times, and we work with all age ranges, K through 12. And we also do a lot of weekend placements, which are usually in the Houston Public Library. And Discovery Green, we have our Poetry and Pose, which combines yoga and poetry. We also work with a lot of children out of 3rd, 4th, and 5th Ward with our Hatch program, which helps struggling LGBTQ youth within those regions create and have a voice within those communities. And we also work with at-risk youth in the juvenile detention centers all around Houston and in Harris County.
Wow, sounds like your hands are a little bit in every market.
Pretty much, and we're trying to expand more and provide more resources for the ever-growing community that is Houston.
So I will assume that in the beginning you're working with some students who are novice in regards to writing. Do y'all provide prompts? How do you get them to actually tap into that author that's within?
So typically we train our writers to use multiple forms of media and artistry in order to engage the children within writing. So especially for elementary school kids, it's really hard to get a child to just go in straight and write because they don't know what to do. They think it's too hard. They don't understand. So typically we will have a mentor text, whether it be like a slam video or a picture book or whatever it is that introduces them into the world of writing. And then typically we will teach them the different forms of pedagogy, like how to create a character. So we'll have them then sit in a space, close their eyes, and think of the person that they really like or they really don't like, whether they want to write a hero or a villain, and just list out verbally some of the traits that person that they really like or don't like have, right? And then have them open their eyes, and the teacher has written them on the board from what they've said out loud, and we show them then these are the traits that can make up a character. And that's just an example of one of the lessons that we do. We also like using art as a way to inspire children. So sometimes we will have them draw or look at a painting and have them write what they are inspired by. Each one of our placements gets a field trip to the Manil Collection, where the teacher and the writer on staff and all of the students get to go to the Manil and look at the paintings and write what they're inspired about. There is no assignment based on it. It's just more of their feeling and what they're getting from it.
Awesome. Well, this is definitely something that, you know, you're introducing to young people at an early age, or actually it sounds like it's something that you introduce to different segments at different ages. And writing is one of those things that if you can tap into that passion, it's something that can do lifelong. So I appreciate you taking time speaking with me. I wish you the best success at the Providers Fair as well with the students that you're working with.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. VA Productions also sent representatives to our vendor fair. I'm here at the Case for Kids Providers Fair, and now I'm speaking with representatives of VA Productions, Barbara and Ashton. So can you tell me a little bit about VA Productions?
All right. Well, we are so excited to be here today. VA Productions is an organization, 501c3, that's put together to help our youth, learning them about science and math and sports, how it all ties together. And so we're excited to have different camps and after-school programs that we provide to help our young people to grow in what they do. And so I'm just excited. Ms. Harrell, who is the director, I am Barbara Yarbrough, I'm the administrative assistant. And so we're just excited to what we can do to offer so much for our young people to grow and learn and be more productive.
Okay, and so the services you provide, you tie it in academics with sports and dance?
Sports, dance, and science, yes.
Sports, dance, and science. So can you tell me a little bit about the sports side of it?
So science and sports, we offer innovative skill development, and we also offer character building. So we kind of had different programs and different activities where it kind of demonstrates good character building. And then we also have our skill development where we also work on different skills as far as our ball handling, our shooting, our footwork, and different things like that. So we kind of we kind of like to have a balance. We work on one thing and then we work on it. We kind of merge them together and how they, you know, things like teamwork, leadership skills, and just, you know, the whole unity thing of just supporting one another and just, you know, being good teammates, good people. So we just try to incorporate that.
And so the sporting camps that include football drills, basketball drills,
yes.
anything else?
Basketball, well, I'm over the basketball side, but I know football and kind of the other sports are kind of like the same. Like I said, we really try to focus a lot on just good character, different things like healthy habits, leadership, and things like that, just to kind of get our youth to understand the importance of, you know, being good citizens and things like that.
Right, and I know a lot of young people, they look at a lot of sports figures, mm-hmm. and they, you know, they link the money that's associated with it. Sometimes they don't link the fundamentals that's needed to get to that level,
right.
hard work that's needed to get that level, right. and then more importantly, the person themselves.
Right.
And so, I mean, sports is a great element to learn all those things that you're talking about, but it also needs some guidance to do that. So, Barbara, you were telling me earlier that y'all really shifted into the youth development side when the Super Bowl was here. And y'all started doing some sports camps. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Yes, we had our first big one, major one, when we had the Super Bowl here in Houston, Texas. And we had a camp out there. We had over 400 kids
wow.
show up, and it was an exciting time. We had some of the former football NFL players came out, and other sports figures came out, celebrities came out, and they supported us with it. And it was exciting to have all the kids out. They had a wonderful time. We've had kids. We also had children. There was... had disabilities. We had that part of the program as well. We didn't want to leave anyone out, so they were able to come out and enjoy, and they did drills and camps with them. They had the girls learning cheer, so it was really a great time.
Well, great. Well, we appreciate you coming out to our vendor fair. We wish you all the success this school year, and if there's anything else we can do to help, just let me know.
Thanks for having us.
No problem. Thank you.
All right.
One of the most attention-getting vendors is Healing Species, because they brought one of their healing animals.
And I'm speaking with a representative from the Healing Species. And you're?
Joy Southard.
Andrea Benge.
And can you tell me a little bit about Healing Species and what services you provide?
Yes, Healing Species is a violence intervention character education program. It's taught with the assistance of rescue dogs. The dogs are a big part of our program because they've gone through a lot of the same things that the kids have gone through. So we teach kids how to heal, how to overcome bullying, how to overcome abuse at home. We teach them diversity and tolerance. You know, our dogs don't care what the other dog looks like. They just want to make sure the dog is nice. So it's an 11-week program, and we come to the schools for 11 weeks with sometimes a different dog each week.
Well, I'm sure once you walk in, you probably get a lot of attention. Well, at least the dogs get a lot of attention.
The dogs get a lot of attention. The kids will oftentimes... They won't remember my name, but they'll remember the dog's name.
Right. And what age group do y'all work with?
We work with, the program's targeted to a third grade, but we work all the way up to high school, and we teach in all the Harris County juvenile detention facilities as well.
Are the students, are they referred to you, or is just you walk into the school and you work with a small group of students at a time? How does that normally work?
It is really a grade level program. So we don't do a pullout program. We don't want a situation where, you know, you kids need this program.
It is
an entire grade level, and it'll change the culture of the school.
Okay. And you brought a friend with you, Wallace. Wallace looks like is it a basset hound?
A basset hound.
And can you tell me a little bit about Wallace?
Andrew?
Oh, okay. Wallace, he's 8 years old, and he's from a shelter in Austin. He was rescued by my friend.
And so y'all just normally, like, will go to a shelter, or does the shelter call you, or how do y'all pick out the dog?
Our dogs are really living in great homes now, but they all have come from either the streets or a shelter or a rescue group. So we have a pretty good network with rescue organizations, and a lot of folks will say, oh, my dog can do this. And we temperament test all the dogs to make sure that they're happy doing this and that they're good you know, with all kids. So we have about, I think there's about 60 dogs in the program in the Harris County program. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess the dog would have to have a really unique temperament. Can't be jittery around a lot of people, or I'm sure our hands would just be touching them
from nowhere. From nowhere, yes.
Well, we appreciate what you're doing. We appreciate you coming out today. And if there's anything that we can do to either connect you with some schools or make referrals, I have your card, and I'll add the contact information to the description of the podcast.
Oh, that's great. Thanks so much.
Thank you. The last organization I had the opportunity to speak with was representatives from Little Birdies. Welcome back to the Making After School Cool podcast. I'm here with Archie, who is with Little Birdies Mobile Golf Academy. How are you doing today?
Doing well, just blessed.
Great, great, great. So tell me a little bit about Little Birdies.
Little Birdies Mobile Golf Academy. We are an educational services community business where we go into the schools, communities, churches, community centers, and we teach character education and STEM through the game of golf.
And what inspired you to actually get into this venture?
Well, I was introduced to the game of golf kind of late, as depicted by some of the kids nowadays, but as a 10th grader in high school. Played 10th grade, 11th grade, 12th grade in high school. Went on to Lancaster University, and I actually played golf at Lancaster University. And then came back home and started teaching, and was through golf inside the curriculum in my classes. And before you know it, a mentor of mine told me about, you know, after school programs or after school services, and he said I might need to try it. He's never seen a golf program in any of the schools that he'd been in.
Right.
And he taught chess, so I put him off for a year because I was doing pretty well as athletic director, football coach, whatever the case may be. But then, lo and behold, I tried it one semester. And it flourished, and the rest is history. Walked away.
And I know with a lot of the students that we tend to work with, golf is something that many of them have never been introduced to. So how do you get the students involved, or how do they react when you walk in and say, hey, we're gonna play a little bit of golf?
And that was the premise of Little Birdies Mobile Golf Academy as well, is that I know I didn't grow up on a country club or in a golf course environment, whatever the case may be, and I wanted to. I know how much I learned and had taken away from the game of golf, and I wanted to share that with young people. We founded Little Birdies, and I'm going to just be honest, initially, many kids that we go and teach and talk to are a little hesitant, but it's something about the game of golf that's the unique, and that it's an individualized sport. It's just you can't blame it on passing to nobody, right. Can't blame it on nobody missing a shot or missing a kick, and once they hit the ball one time, to me it seems like you see that glow, and they're hooked, and that's what we love.
And so you bring all the equipment, because I know golf can be an expensive sport. So you bring everything to the school, set up a mini course. Is that how it's designed?
Yeah, we do a 45-minute to hour class, but we start off with our character piece. So we do a 10-minute, 15-minute character, either worksheet, discussion, or show them a video. Then we transition either to outside, where we bring, again, all the equipment, all of the resources to do golf, or cold and wet days, we're inside doing putting and doing some chipping inside work as well.
Okay, great, great, great. Well, I want to thank you for taking a moment just to share your story and how you got this program up and running, and we wish you a great success this school year.
Thank you so much. All right.
Thank you for joining us for the Making After School Cool podcast, where today's topic featured our Case for Kids Service Providers Fair. I want to thank my special guest, Jacqueline Chavez, who is the Case for Kids Service Providers Coordinator, in addition to representatives from the following agencies: Recipe for Success, On Day Love, Writers in the School, VA Productions, Healing Species, and Little Birdies Mobile Golf Academy. Please join us on future podcasts as we continue to explore issues that are prevalent to the after-school and out-of-school time field.